This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, the business station. My name is Richard Bradbury, and this is Open for Business here on Enterprise on BFM 89.9. I'm going to be talking today to Richard Sear. He is the CEO of Novelship. We're talking about flipping sneakers, I guess, in some ways. And flipping sneakers has been a viable business for decades. And according to Statista, a company specializing in a market and consumer data, the overall global resale sneakers market is forecasted to reach a value of $97.8 billion by 2024. And in Asia, Novelship is known to be the fastest growing marketplace for sneakers and streetwear. After just 2 years into the business, they've achieved their first $1 million US monthly revenue milestone, despite the recent pandemic. Richard, welcome to the show. How are you?
Yeah, nice to meet you, Richard. And yeah, thank you for your introduction.
How are you feeling? A little bit under the weather today, I hear.
Yeah, slightly under the weather. I just took my vaccination. Second shot.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh, that's the big one. Now, talk to me about the beginning of Novelship and kind of, I guess, your love for streetwear and footwear and you know, this obsession. It must be an obsession to drive you to do something like this, is it?
Yeah, so you know how everything got started was you know, so me and my co-founder Chris, we have actually been long-term friends for more than 15 years, and we reconnected in NUS, you know, where I studied econs, he studied biz, and then very quickly we started thinking about, you know, startup ideas, you know, like a lot of youths who are also into startups. So even before our graduation, we already have the dubious distinction of having two failed ventures under our belt. So long story cut short, you know, after two failed ventures, and it was near our graduation, you know, Asian parents and all that, we started thinking about, hey, you know, we really need to make something work. What is something that both of us are passionate about, and also something that we can create a business venture out of? Right. Then it came to our business, you know, it came to our background at that point in time. Both of us have been decade-long sneakerheads, you know, NBA fans, hip-hop fans, more than 10 years. So I'm more interested in streetwear. Chris has always been the one who is more interested in sneakers. So we thought about the problems that we face as users in this region, right? As consumers in this region. And that is, you simply don't get direct access to authentic products. And if you're dealing with strangers online, you're going to be scammed. And you will also get counterfeits.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's one of the biggest issues that we saw when we first got started. And then subsequently, once we saw the problem, we didn't immediately jump into it. We started validating it. You know, if you search on Carousell, you can find Novelship, right? That's where we got our first 3,000, 4,000 users. And then finally, after validating this idea on other platforms, we finally launched our website in its current format in 2018 October. So that's the whole story of how we got started.
That's fantastic. I mean, I'll be honest. I lived in Beijing, China for a long time. And counterfeit sneakers are a huge business there.
Yeah, huge business. Huge business.
And that raises the question, you know, living here in Asia, how do you guarantee that the sneakers that you sell on your platform are in fact originals? How can you assure the consumer that they are?
Right. So, yeah, as Richard, you mentioned just now, you know, counterfeits is a big issue in Asia, right? So up to 85% of the counterfeits also come from Asia. So this is a much more pronounced issue in this part of the world compared to other places. So how we take, you know, how we address this issue is really threefold, right? The first layer is we have a very strong deterrence, right? So buyers and sellers who have used us, you know that we have built up a reputation on in the market for having absolute no tolerance for counterfeits. So even before a buyer seller can interact with our website meaningfully, they really must especially on the seller's end, they must put down a verified payment method. So if you are a fraudster, if you are someone who is here to sell a counterfeit as a real item, then, you know, we can potentially penalize you for up to 15% of your selling price, right? So that is really one very strong deterrence. The second thing that we do is, regardless if you are a veteran seller or a new seller on our website, you know, every single transaction, every single item, you have to send your item to one of our processing centers situated around Asia. So we have one in Singapore, we have one in Indonesia, we have one in Japan, and we have one upcoming for Malaysia as well, for our Malaysian fans. So, you know, regardless of whether what track record you have to send your goods to us for our brand experts in-house to do the double check, to do to do the check, to do smell check, to do everything. And then subsequently from there, you know, the database for every single shoe that comes to our warehouse, we have painstakingly built up a very big database of images and of all kind of knowledge base. And we have translated this kind of knowledge base and database into then an in-house software that will, you know, further augment our ability to authenticate shoes. So these are the three layers of authentication prowess that we have.
And what's the kind of market like here in Asia for sneakerheads compared to other places around the world?
Well, I think for especially if we are talking about the region that we're in, you know, Asia Pacific, and especially with special focus in South Asia, I think sneakers and streetwear culture is relatively new, right? So especially compared to what we see in US, where, you know, even if you talk to someone on the street, they can really tell you a sneaker or two. A lot of people in this region, they are literally just getting into sneaker culture. And many of them, you know, especially our users on Novaship, they are buying such an expensive pair, such an exclusive pair of sneaker online for the first time ever. So I think for what we are doing, we are really the induction for a lot of users in this region towards sneaker culture. So that's the biggest difference that we probably see, you know, in terms of how
And now you're looking at around 120,000 users across the region, including Australia and New Zealand as well.
Yeah. So let me be clear. 120K is basically our registered, our active users. If we're talking about monthly active users on our website, that number goes up to 500,000 every single month.
Wow.
Yeah.
And are these users that are, these 500,000 users, are they coming in from all over the world as well?
Yeah, so not exactly, right? So for us, when we set up Novaship, we set up with the specific idea to address the unfulfilled demand or the issues of our Asia-Pacific, excluding China, consumers, right? Because back then, there wasn't such an option. You know, I mean, US, in China, you see very big players, but what is there for the users in this region? So we couldn't see any of that, and we came in to fill that gap. So we set up with the specific focus on users for this region in Asia. So right now we have presence in 6 markets: Singapore, Malaysia, Indonesia, Australia, New Zealand, as well as Taiwan, which is our newest market.
You're on the phone with me, Rich Bradbury, and of course, Richard Sear. He's the CEO of Novaship. They were founded in 2018. They're a marketplace for buyers and sellers to trade authentic sneakers, limited edition apparel, and exclusive collectibles, whilst providing a physical and digital authentication service that guarantees the legitimacy of all products before preparing them to be shipped out to their respective buyers. Short break. We'll be right back here on BFM 89.9, the business station.
Blockbusters for me. BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, the business station. My name is Rich Bradbury. I'm on the phone line with Richard Sear, the CEO of Novelship. We've just been talking about how they were founded in 2018. They're a marketplace for buyers and sellers to trade authentic sneakers, limited edition apparel, exclusive collectibles, and other stuff. Richard, let's talk a little bit. Let's just rewind a little bit and talk about moving from other platforms like Carousel to your own website and setting all of that kind of stuff up. Was that an expensive kind of procedure to do that?
So actually, you know, as with a lot of startup story, when we did that in Carousel, we actually bootstrapped our way, right? So
right.
We bootstrapped our first 1 to 2 years until 2019, where we were funded by GFC.
I see. Mm. And now, the website that you're running now, you say you have an awful lot of traffic on there. What's the upkeep and the tech behind that website like? Is it a difficult thing to keep hold of or to keep track of?
I think at the start, you know, it was certainly something that was very customized. So we did look into a lot of options like, you know, Shopify and all that, those kind of platforms that allow you to build a website fairly quickly. And ultimately, we decided it wasn't something that we could use. Mainly because the flow that we have is something that's very unique. I think, you know, we have probably not seen anything like that in Asia before, especially if we talk about the whole, you know, the whole logistics flow is exceptionally complicated. So everything in-house, including the authentication software that we use in-house, the technology that we use in-house, everything is built in-house. Yeah.
Now, obviously, this is something that, you know, it's come from love and it's come from passion, but it's also come from a sense of business as well. Yeah. At what point has it changed from being something about love and passion to being strictly about business, or is there still that passion underneath it?
Yeah, I think it has always been both for me and my co-founder, Chris, right? So even to this day, you know, oftentimes we trade on the website almost daily, right? So obviously we term it as a way for us to test the website, but I think it's really an excuse for us to further our passion in sneakers. Yeah.
I mean, so that kind of brings me on to the next question of, you know, somebody like you, how many pairs of sneakers do you personally own?
Well, okay. Just looking at the stats on Novelship, right? I traded almost 30,000 to 40,000 worth of sneakers last year. Yeah, that's in SGD, right? So that's around 120k ringgit.
Wow, for people who might not be sneakerheads, and they look at some of the prices that some of these, you know, sneakers are going for, they can be extremely expensive, obviously. And for some people, they might not understand why they are so expensive. Just try and put it into context for me as to why some of these. I mean, I'm looking at a pair of sneakers now on your website.
Yeah.
Jeff Staple SB Dunk Low Pigeon, all right?
Yeah.
Highest offer is 69,466 ringgit for a pair of sneakers. For me, I look at that and I think, well, that's the same price as a car, you know. But for a sneakerhead, that might not be so unusual. Why is that?
Yeah, to put it very simply, demand far outweighs the supply, right?
Right.
So number one, the demand is really growing extremely fast in the region, especially among young people. Actually one of the most popular sneaker conference is actually in Malaysia, right? Sneaker La. So if you ever had chance to check out the place, I think if I'm not wrong, it's at Klang Valley during Sneaker La. You will see 20,000 to 30,000, you know, people, attendees wearing sneakers, trading sneakers all at one location. So I think that's testament to how popular this sneakers and streetwear has gotten, you know, in Asia. So on the back of this demand, you know, the supply is really kept extremely limited. So there's therefore, you know, you will see a lot of people queue up overnight. Like I'm talking about literally 1 to 2 nights for their favorite pair of sneakers. And to add on to this, I think what's really interesting is there is a very strong culture and passion behind this kind of pursuit, right? So, I mean, just talking to my co-founder, Chris, he can literally go, you know, go for 1 to 2 hours telling you what each shoe means for him.
Right.
This shoe has been worn by Michael Jordan on the second match of his certain career. Right, so he can, you know, there's a very strong passion behind all this to add on to the increasing demand.
Mm.
Yeah.
So would you argue then, or would you say that this is just like anybody who collects anything, you know, whether or not it's baseball cards or whether or not it's, you know, other sport memorabilia or guitars or anything, you know, it's not really any different apart from it being, you know, something that you would wear on your feet. It's the same kind of principle, right?
Yeah, I would argue so, definitely. So one of the ways I tend to put it to my friends who are not sneakerheads is I say, look, it's not that complicated, right? So these rebellious kids that you saw, you know, 10 years ago, who are wearing streetwear and are very, you know, very edgy sneakers, they have come of age 10 years later. Now they are earning an income that allows them to, you know, pursue their fashion taste. So if you go to Gucci, if you go to Prada, what you will see is not high heels, you know, leather shoes. What you will see is increasingly sneakers. It's just that this group of kids, you know, who were younger, who didn't have income, they are now becoming the income earner, and their taste gradually represents the mainstream. And to add on to this, right, you know, I think the other aspect of sneaker culture that makes this ecosystem extremely hot is the fact that, you know, a lot of items actually come with a collector value. So even though I said I traded 120K of sneakers, it didn't mean that I actually sunk 120K ringgit into the shoes. It simply means that I bought a shoe. Some of the shoe, they were, you know, they rose in price. Some of the shoe they lost in value, and then I sold them again. So the net value I might have actually earned from my portfolio of 120K sneakers. Mm-hmm. I think that's also something that makes it very magical.
And what do you think is, or what has been the most expensive pair of sneakers that you've sold via your website?
This is something that's very memorable for us. I believe that was the most expensive sneaker that we ever sold on the website. So that was a release from last year, I believe. It's called Air Jordan 1. Air Jordan 1 collaboration with Dior. So Jordan 1 High, Air Dior, right? So it retailed at $3,500 Singapore, but it ultimately resold at the highest of $20,000 Singapore, which is around 60K ringgit.
Wow.
Yeah.
Did that surprise you at all?
Back then it was, when it first sold, it was a big surprise for us. And, you know, anecdotally, you know, the first of such shoe that sold on our website, you know, we actually sent someone to collect the shoe from the seller, because we have a pickup option, we have courier option that gives them convenience. And, you know, the courier actually told us that when he reached the family, the entire family, it was, bear in mind, it was already 10:30 p.m., right, in the night.
Yeah.
The entire family was waiting in the living room for him to receive that pair of shoes. So everyone was looking at him, because it's literally a pair of 60,000 ringgit shoe. Everyone was.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Now, I just want to wrap up with, you know, obviously it's a good business for you now. You know, you've got over that 1 million ringgit mark. How do you think things are going to be for the next few months for you guys, for the next couple of years? How do you see yourselves kind of expanding, and what are you looking at doing in terms of business?
Yeah. So I think for us, you know, first of all, I think that 1 million USD is already outdated by half a year. So right now we are already multiple of that per month. And we
Wonderful.
Are, yeah, I think we are increasing almost 25% month on month, compoundingly.
Wow, so well done.
Thank you. Number two, I think there's still a lot of room to grow in Asia. We see young people from across different demographics, across different age, and increasingly, it used to be a guy dominated thing, but females are also getting into sneakers. They're also getting into streetwear. So as much as 40% of our demographic is now female. That's another area of growth, right? And finally, I think in terms of country coverage, you know, we want to do more for our fans in, you know, across Asia. So one of the things that we really want to do, you know, with specific focus on maybe Malaysia, is Malaysia also accounts for a sizable percentage of our buyers and sellers. So we want to set up, potentially do like a pop-up store or something like that, so that we can have physical presence in the markets that we are in as well. So look out for that. And one last thing.
Yes.
We just launched our app to make things a lot simpler. So check out our app on iOS. Android is coming as well.
That was Richard Sear, the CEO of Novel Ship, here on Enterprise on Open for Business. If you're only just tuning in, we've been talking about flipping sneakers, but these guys were founded back in 2018. They are a marketplace of buyers and sellers to trade authentic sneakers, limited edition apparel, and exclusive collectibles, whilst providing a physical and digital authentication service that guarantees the legitimacy of all products before preparing them to be shipped out to their respective buyers. This has been Open for Business here on BFM 89.9, the business station.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.